హరే కృష్ణ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుమిళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామయం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం త్వం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం. శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ పద సహగణ లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. వంశాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శివాషది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య नरञ्चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद्भागवतम सेकेंड कैंटो टेक्स्ट 36। फॉर दीज फ्यू डेज, फोर डेज ऑफ भागवतम क्लासेस, आई एम सिलेक्टिंग सम स्पेशल वर्सेस इंस्टेड ऑफ जस्ट गोइंग फ्रॉम वन वर्स टू अनदर, बिकॉज इन फोर डेज वी वॉन्ट बी एबल टू कवर वेरी मच सिक्वेंसियल एंड दैट वे। सो आई थॉट दैट इट्स बेटर दैट आई सिलेक्ट some special verse and relevant special verses and give the class on that. So the second chapter of the second canto is entitled as The Lord in the Heart. Text 36. तस्मात् सर्वात्मना राजन् हरि सर्वत्र सर्वदा श्रोतव्यः कीर्तितव्यश्च स्मर्तव्यो भगवान् नृणाम्। तस्मात् सर्वात्मना राजन् हरि सर्वत्र सर्वदा श्रोतव्या कीर्तितव्यश्च स्मर्तव्यो भगवान् नृणाम्। तस्मात् सर्वात्मना राजन् हरि सर्वत्र सर्वदा श्रोतव्या कीर्तितव्यश्च स्मर्तव्यो भगवान् नृणाम्। तस्मात् सर्वात्मना राजन् हरि सर्वत्र सर्वदा श्रोतव्या कीर्तितव्यश्च स्मर्तव्यो भगवान् नृणाम्। तस्मात् देयरफॉर सर्व ऑल आत्मना सोल राजन ओ किंग हरि ही द लॉर्ड सर्वत्र एवरीवेयर सर्वदा ऑलवेज श्रोतव्य मस्ट बी हर्ड कीर्तितव्य ग्लोरिफाइड च ऑल्सो स्मर्तव्य बी रिमेम्बर्ड भगवान द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड Nrinam by the human beings. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hereabout glorify and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. So repeat after me. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sukadev Goswami begins this verse with the word tasmat, or therefore. Because in the previous verse, he has already explained that there is no auspicious means for salvation other than the sublime process of Bhakti Yoga. The Bhakti Yoga process is practiced by the devotees in different methods like hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping, praying, rendering service in love, becoming friendly, and offering all that one may possess. All nine methods are bona fide methods, and either all of them, some of them, or even one of them can bring about the desired result for the sincere devotee. But out of all the nine different methods, the first one, namely hearing, is most important. Most important function in the process of Bhakti Yoga. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any progress by any of the methods of practice. And for hearing only, all the Vedic literatures are there, compiled by authorized persons like Vyasadev, who is the powerful incarnation of Godhead. And since it has been ascertained that the Lord is the supersoul of everything, he should therefore be heard and glorified everywhere and always. That is the special duty of the human being. When the human being gives up the process of hearing about the all-pervading personality of Godhead, he becomes victim of hearing rubbish transmitted by man-made machines. Machinery is not bad, because through the machine one can take advantage of hearing about the Lord. But because machinery is used for ulterior purposes, it is creating rapid degradation in the standard of human civilization. It is said here that it is incumbent upon the human beings to hear, because the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are made for that purpose. Living beings other than human beings have no ability to hear such Vedic literatures. If human society gives itself to the process of hearing the Vedic literature, it will not become a victim to the impious sounds vibrated by impious men who degraded the standard of the total society. Hearing is solidified by the process of chanting. One who has perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced about the all-pervading personality of Godhead and thus becomes enthusiastic in glorifying the Lord. All the great acharyas like Ramanuja, Madhva, Chaitanya, Saraswati Thakur, or even in other countries, Muhammad, Christ, and others, have all extensively glorified the Lord by chanting always and in every place. Because the Lord is all-pervading, it is essential to glorify Him always and everywhere. In the process of glorifying the Lord, there should be no restriction of time and space. This is called Sanatan Dharma or Bhagavad Dharma. Sanatan means eternal, always and everywhere. Bhagavat means pertaining to Bhagavan, the Lord. The Lord is the master of all time and all space, and therefore the Lord's holy name must be heard, glorified and remembered everywhere in the world. That will bring about the desired peace and prosperity so eagerly awaited by the people of the world. The word cha includes all the remaining processes or methods of bhakti yoga as mentioned above. So, tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada shrotabhya kirtitabhascha smartabhyo bhagavan rinam. O king, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify and remember the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. So, in a way, this is the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. The background of Srimad Bhagavatam is Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by a Brahmana boy, Sringi, that he would die within 7 days. And upon hearing about that, Parikshit Maharaj immediately left his kingdom and he went straight to the bank of the Ganges in order to prepare himself for death. And upon receiving the news that the king is about to leave his body within 7 days, many exalted personalities appeared there. And at that time, Srila Sukadev Goswami also appeared there. He was only 16 years old, but from his countenance, from his appearance, from his features, bodily features, those exalted saintly personalities could recognize that he was a very, very exalted personality. So they offered him the exalted position, and Parikshit Maharaj started to ask him questions. And now that I'm going to die within a short time, please tell me, what should I do? What should I do? And Sukadeva Goswami started to instruct him, and that is Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj also mentioned that, please tell me about the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God. And in this chapter, Sukadev Goswami begins to describe the absolute truth. Starting from the beginning of creation, Bhagavatam, for that matter, covers 10 different aspects of knowledge. The first aspect is creation. Atra sarga. Sarga means creation. Bi sargascha. Bi sarga means secondary creation, sub creation. The initial creation takes place from Vishnu, Mahavishnu. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in order to create the material nature, expands himself as Vishnu. The three Vishnu forms, Karanodakshai Vishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, and Shirodakshai Vishnu, who are known as Purushavatars, they are all in relation to the creation of this material nature. The initial aspect of the creation is the creation of the universes. And then How does that happen? There's an elaborate description in Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahavishnu lies on the causal ocean. There's an ocean of cause. Just as there's an ocean of salt water, there's an ocean of cause. Cause, karana, just like we say, because. Everything happens by some cause. Because means by the cause. Because it happened. By the cause. So there's a substance called cause and there's an ocean of cause. And Mahavishnu lies in the causal ocean. And as he breathes, from his breathing, the bubbles that are generated in the causal ocean, each single bubble is a universe. And Mahavishnu is not only breathing from his mouth or nostrils, he's breathing from every single pore of his body. And Mahavishnu's body is unlimited. So we can consider that way. If Mahavishnu's body is unlimited, then the pores in Mahavishnu's body is also unlimited. Therefore, the number of universes are also unlimited. So, this way there are innumerable universes are generated from Mahavishnu's body. As you have seen in a bubble, what is there inside the bubble? This bubble is empty inside. So now, Mahavishnu entered into each single universe, which was otherwise empty inside, as Garbhodokshai Vishnu. And generating water from his own body, he filled up half of the universe and he laid on the bed of Anantashesha Devi. And then from his navel sprouts one lotus. And Brahma, the first created being, the first personality in the universe, was situated on that lotus. Brahma at the beginning, that's what Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning at the beginning of this chapter. Brahma at the beginning did not have any knowledge, any understanding, any recollection. He did not have anything. His mind was completely empty. That is, he did not have any recollection where he was from, who he was. It's like one fine morning you wake up and you find yourself in a strange place and you don't have any recollection. You don't have any remembrance where you came from, who you are. How will you feel? Did you ever imagine? You are, one morning you woke up and you found yourself in a strange place. And you don't remember anything. So that was the situation of Brahma. He woke up and he found himself sitting on a lotus and he didn't remember who he was, where he came from. And then by the mercy of the Lord, Brahma received the Gayatri Mantra. And meditating on the Gayatri, the knowledge or Veda was revealed in the heart of Brahma. Tene Brahmarhida Adikavaye Muihanti Jatsuraya. The transcendental knowledge was revealed in the heart of Brahma. Dibya Gyan Hride Prakashita. The transcendental knowledge is revealed in the heart. The transcendental knowledge was revealed in Brahma's heart. Brahma received the knowledge by meditating upon Virat Roop of the Lord. So this is how Brahma got the knowledge and Brahma realized what was his business. His business was to assist the Lord by filling up the universe with living entities and various objects. He is the first personality who actually started the internal creation of the universe. That's why it's called the secondary creation. The primary creation was by Vishnu, by Mahavishnu, as I mentioned. From his breathing, all the universes were generated. And then Brahma is now doing the internal job. Sometimes in this respect, I give the description, I give the analogy of an interior decorator. The house is built, but then what happens? The interior decorator comes and he does the interior decoration. Well, this furniture will be here, this table will be here, this light will be here. And he makes all the arrangements inside the house. So Brahma actually did that. Then Shukadev Goswami mentioned that Brahma received the Vedic knowledge, Vedas. But Vedas can be very bewildering. The Vedic sounds are bewildering. Because apparently the Vedic wisdom, Vedic knowledge, apparently gives the impression that the purpose of the Vedas is to enjoy in this material nature. To enjoy here. And that is the Karmakanda section of the Vedas are providing. How to enjoy here in this material world. But that is not the purpose of the Vedas. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, Jamimang Pushpitang Vacha. The flowery words of the Vedas are misleading. Now, when it says, if you do this, you'll get this, if you do that, you'll get that. You want a lot of money, okay, do this, you'll have a lot of money. You want to have a big position, very successful, do this, you'll become successful. You want to have a beautiful wife or you want to have a beautiful husband, do this and you'll get that. You want to be a king, okay, do this, you'll get that. So this is how the Vedas, in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, are giving these instructions. How to enjoy in this material nature. That's why Sukadeva Goswami is mentioning that the words of the Vedas are bewildering. Because the purpose of the Vedas is not to enjoy this material nature. And although by following those instructions, one may get some transient or flitting enjoyment, temporary enjoyment, but that is not the purpose of the Vedas. What's the point in getting a momentary pleasure? In a life full of suffering, what's the use of getting momentary pleasure? And it's all momentary. Even if it lasts for 50 years, 100 years, still it's momentary. Because this is a place of suffering. Material nature is a place of suffering and this body is an instrument to receive pain. So how with dwelling in a body that is meant for receiving pain, in a place which is meant for suffering, one can enjoy. Therefore, the intelligent approach is to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give the right knowledge. Here Parikshit Maharaj is receiving from Sukadeva Goswami, a bona fide spiritual master. And he is giving the real knowledge of the Vedas. The purpose of the Vedas is not to enjoy in this material nature. What's the use of getting some momentary pleasure? Actually, what happens? When you are suffering and if you get a momentary pleasure, then the suffering becomes more intensified. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, an example has been given of that. Like, there is a way to punish a prisoner, a culprit, is to drown him in the water. Drown him in the water. When one is in the water, drowned in the water, submerged in the water, what happens? He is dying to breathe. And then he is lifted up just to take one breath. And then again dumped into the water. Our enjoyment in the material nature is like that. Just a momentary happiness and then endless misery. Another little happiness, end of misery. And everyone is thinking, well, tomorrow I'll become happy. So there is no way to become happy or joyful in this material nature. Actually, happiness means when the suffering condition is reduced to some extent, we call that happiness. We are suffering. An example has been given. One has got a boil in his back. And it's paining. So, a cushion has been given to him to sit on. Little pleasure for the boil. But the pain of the boil is not coming from outside, it's coming from inside. And just getting some momentary pleasure is not really going to eliminate it forever. So that is the intelligence. So understanding that, what should one do? Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadev Goswami is telling that. Then reduce the necessities of your existence in this material nature. Don't try to increase it. Don't try to make arrangements to enjoy in the material nature. Rather, recognizing that this is a place of suffering, you reduce that endeavor for enjoyment. Or just reduce whatever is needed. And he is giving the example. What's the point in a bed when there is so much flat land to lie on? What's the need of a pillow when you have the arm to rest your head on? So this is how he is actually pointing out how to reduce. And he's pointing out, don't the trees and plants and animals and insects live? They also have their quota of enjoyment. So there's no need to separately try to enjoy. Rather reduce the necessities of life. And try to make this life successful. Make this life successful by understanding the purpose of your life. Understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understanding the need to develop our relationship with Him. And trying to develop that relationship. That should be the goal. And then he's pointing out, how is that possible? That is possible by Bhakti Yoga. And he's also making another point here. He's saying that initially one tries to liberate himself. He wants to deliver himself. He wants to advance himself for his own benefit. But then what he does, he sees that how others are suffering and he tries to mitigate their suffering condition, deliver them from their suffering condition. They're suffering. Therefore, he goes out and shows them the way to become free from the suffering condition. So that is a devotee. A devotee is he, an advanced devotee is he who is always concerned about others' welfare. Just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, janma sarthak kori karo paro upokar. Paro upokar. A devotee is he who is always trying to benefit others, or paro upokar. And that paro upokar, the business of paro upokar, benefiting others, has been described as jare dakho tare kaho Krishna upadesh. Whoever you see, you instruct him about Krishna. Jare dakho tare kaho Krishna upadesh amar aggay guru hoya taro idesh. Because Krishna upadesh can be given by one who has Krishna, who knows Krishna, and that is guru. Guru is he, jai Krishna tattvabitta, shei guru. Whoever knows Krishna can become a guru, especially when he tells others, gives them the instruction. So that is why it is so important that the devotees go out and preach. And those who are preaching, they are gurus. It is not that in order to be a guru, we need a stamp from ISKCON. No. Mahaprabhu has given the license. Everyone. Jare dakho, tare kaho Krishna. Amar aggay. By my order, you become a guru. For the institutional purpose, for diksha, there is a need for the approval from the society. That's why in ISKCON we have that standard that one has to be recognized by the institution as a guru. Then only he can give initiation. But for giving shiksha, there is no restriction. For shiksha, anybody can be a shiksha guru. And also it is important that when we receive shiksha or instructions, when we get informations about Krishna and Krishna consciousness, we should recognize them as guru. We should not think only those who have the stamp of Diksha Guru in ISKCON, they are the gurus, and others are not, nothing. No. Whoever is preaching must be recognized as Shiksha Guru. And it's a shiksha that is more important. Shiksha is the important thing. And who is the principal shiksha guru of ISKCON? Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is the guru, the acharya of ISKCON. And all the shiksha gurus and diksha gurus are functioning on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. And when we develop this understanding properly, then Krishna consciousness movement will start to spread with a tremendous speed, with tremendous success. Let's go out. Let everybody feel that. Let me go out and give everyone Krishna. That's called compassion, as Sukadeva Goswami is pointing out. At an advanced stage, a devotee develops compassion for other living entities, seeing how they are suffering. They are suffering. Everyone in this world is suffering. Those who do not know Krishna, all of them are suffering. No matter how rich they may be, no matter how influential they may be, no matter how famous they may be, and no matter how much they seem to be enjoying, they all are suffering. They all are suffering. With our eyes closed, we can say that they are all suffering, no matter what. From our eyes, it may seem, oh, he is so rich, so he must be enjoying so much. Look at what a palatial building he has. Look at what a beautiful family he has. Look at all these facilities that he has. But one thing I can tell you, if you stand on his shoes, you will see how miserable he is. Just as when you also look at yourself and see how miserable you are, he is also equally miserable. So the only way to become really happy, the only way to become really successful in life is by becoming a devotee of Krishna. And how does one become a devotee of Krishna? By knowing Krishna. And what is the way to know Krishna? The way to know Krishna is Shrotavya. Hear about Krishna. Kirtitavyascha. Hear, then chant. Hearing and chanting. And then Smartavya, remembering. Remembering Krishna. Remember Krishna's pastimes. And why Krishna is performing his pastimes? To attract us. Through his pastimes, he is attracting us. That's the purpose of his pastimes. He is performing his pastimes. Pastimes are like a drama on a stage. And Krishna is enacting the drama with his devotees. And the purpose is to attract us. If we are pure-hearted, we'll be attracted. If we are contaminated-hearted, then we'll become opposed to Krishna, demon. There are, these demonic tendencies are there. Not that everybody by hearing Krishna's glory will become attracted to Krishna. There are individuals, upon hearing about Krishna's pastimes, they become inimical to Krishna. They don't want to accept him. And they'll find reasons not to believe that Krishna is God and the goal of life is to become his devotee. The demoniac mentality is, I am God. Like Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, Kumbhakarna, Dantavakra, Shishupal, they all were inimical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because they developed an aversion to him for some reason. And the bottom line is that I am the greatest. If there is God, I am God. And nowadays, there is another group, another mentality is developing. That is, you all are God. Tomra shakoli bhagavan. Or ki kotha? Kotha khujicho ishwar. Ami bhagavan, tumi bhagavan. Doridra narayan. The purpose is, if you are God, then I am also God. Right? That's the catch of democracy. Demon crazy. Popular vote. You are God, I am also God. Because I am telling that you are God, I am a bigger God. So that's how they develop the demoniac mentality. They become averse to Krishna. And as recently I was in Chennai and I was told that how these atheistic people, the political leaders actually, the leaders of the society, they're saying that all that our scriptures are saying, all are fairy tales, lies. And one thing they're saying, so stupid argument actually, that how can they build a bridge those days, because there was no engineer at that time. So how without an engineer, without the engineers they could build a bridge. So there was no Setuban, there was no bridge. Ramchandra did not build any bridge. These are all lies. But they don't recognize that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has inconceivable potency. Has inconceivable potency. And with his inconceivable potency, he functions. Like the other day I was flying, and we are flying above the cloud, and the whole sky was filled with cloud. And I was thinking that these clouds are carrying the massive water, massive amount of water. Now, how can all this water are floating, such heavy weight is floating up there? When the rain comes down, how heavy are the water? You can see tons and tons and tons of water is coming down in the form of rain. And those tons and tons and tons of water is floating in the sky in the form of the cloud. How is it possible? That's Krishna. Actually, these people, these demoniac people are so stupid that they don't have any ability to understand and think properly. Simple consideration. A seed falls on the ground. A tree comes up. Isn't it? How big is the seed? Tiny little thing. And from that comes out a huge tree, banyan tree. And in that tree, there are fruits. In the fruits, there are seeds. In those seeds, there are trees. In those trees, there are fruits. In those fruits, there are seeds. Isn't it inconceivable? Can anyone manufacture such a thing? Today, through technological advancement, we may have been able to manufacture rockets and things, aeroplanes and all that. But will these scientists and technicians be able to create a single seed of an apple that will fall on the ground and the apple tree will come out? Now, who made this arrangement? They'll say accidental. It happened by chance. So depending on chance is not science. Science means solid proof. Science means experimentally verified facts. Now they're saying that they're scientists, but their approach is totally unscientific. Totally unscientific. Has nothing to do with science. They're all theory. Theory means imaginary concept. Theory is not science. The real science is law. Like Newton's law of motion. The law of gravity. Boyle's law. Charles' law. But in today's science, do we find these laws? No. It's just theory. Theory of organic evolution. Darwin's theory of organic evolution. The Big Bang theory. The theory of primordial soup. Theory of this. Theory of that. And they're saying this is science. Anyway, the point is, the real intelligence is to understand what is what and pursue that goal. And Prabhupada is pointing out that purpose of life for everyone is to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead and develop one's relationship with Him. And the real understanding is that Supreme Personality of Godhead is one. It's not that different religions are speaking about different gods. Not that the Hindus have one set of gods, Muslims have another set of God, Christians have another set of God. No, God is one without a second. And that is another anomaly, that is another problem in today's religions. All the religions are caught up with a big misconception because they are not pursuing the real purpose to understand God. He may be identified by different names, but He is one without a second. And all religious leaders are speaking about the same person. As Prabhupada is pointing out, the Acharyas spoke like Madhvacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Vishnu Swami, and they all are speaking about God. And Prabhupada is saying, similarly, Muhammad is speaking about God, the same personality. Jesus is saying about the same personality. When the people develop misunderstanding about God, they corrected that. But that doesn't mean that they are opposed to the real concept of God. So when we get the clear understanding, then we can create a perfect atmosphere in the human society. A society that is free from enmity and discord. That is what we should try to achieve. Who will ever deny that somebody created everything? Who will ever deny that someone is maintaining everything? So the one who has created everything, he is God. The one who is the same personality who created is maintaining everything. He is God. The same person. He may have various assistants or appointed agents. But they are secondary. Like just in a government, there are different departments and there are departmental heads. The departmental heads, they are not the head of the whole country. Similarly, these demigods are there. They are controlling different departments. Water department, fire department, wind department. All these departments are there and different personalities are managing them, controlling them. But they are not the supreme personality of God. The supreme personality of God is one without a second. So that is the clear understanding. And when we develop that understanding, then we become situated in a platform where our hearts become completely satisfied. Because by surrendering unto Him, we feel total security. He is maintaining everything. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. So if I surrender unto Him, He will take care of me. Since He is my Supreme Father, He will take care of me. Just as a father takes care of his children. So, this is the first thing that we must understand while we are trying to progress in our spiritual life. The Lord in the heart. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart. And He is waiting when we are going to surrender unto Him. And when we do that, our life becomes successful. Thank you very much. I'm not inviting any question right now. So now you all go, take prasad. And get ready for the next session at 11 o'clock. Gaur Premanande Hari Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sharashati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Vishuddhaya.